Taking a look now at some news from the world of sports. In Major League Baseball, it was too little too late for the New York Mets as they tried to stave off a four-game sweep in their crosstown series with the New York Yankees at Citi Field last night. The Mets trailed 7-1 heading into the bottom of the ninth inning, with Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez doing most of the damage previously for the Yankees. He smacked a three-run homer in the first inning and added two more RBIs with a two-run single in the fourth, with Steven Matz yielding all those runs for the Mets. On the other side of the hill, Luis Severino took a two-hit shutout into the seventh, striking out nine Mets along the way, and there was really no expectation of a Mets comeback when the ninth inning rolled around. But the Mets loaded the bases in the ninth against Brian Mitchell, and Curtis Granderson unloaded them with a grand slam to make it a 7-5 game. That forced Yankees manager Joe Girardi to call on Dylan Betances to close out the game, and he did, making it four wins in a row for the Yankees as they head to Fenway Park tonight for yet another critical series with the AL East-leading Boston Red Sox. That appearance by Betances, though, was not what Girardi wanted heading into the showdown with the Red Sox, as Betances has now been called upon in four of the past five games for the Yankees, so he's been worked a lot. We'll see if that has an effect on tonight's contest. The gap between the two ancient rivals is four games, and the pitching matchup tonight will feature two southpaws, rookie Jordan Montgomery for New York against the veteran Drew Pomeranz for Boston. The Red Sox were idle yesterday following their dramatic three-run come-from-behind victory in the bottom of the ninth against St. Louis on Wednesday night. By the way, if you're keeping track of Aaron Judge's consecutive strikeout streak, it is still in play. Now at 34 games in a row, that's too shy of Adam Dunn's major league record. But with 37 home runs on the year and a .288 batting average for Judge, the Yankees will take that trade-off every day of the week and twice on Sunday. One other note from this series, and it is a curiosity that occurred in Game 3 when Mets manager Terry Collins got creative with a player shortage and consequently created a box score for the ages. Collins had injuries to third baseman Wilmer Flores and second baseman Jose Reyes to deal with, and he was forced to use his catcher, Travis d'Arnaud, at third base, with Esprudel Cabrera at second. But d'Arnaud had never started a game at third base in his 11 years in the majors, and that made Collins nervous. So every time a right-handed Yankees batter came to the plate, d'Arnaud switched places with Cabrera and went over to second, the idea being that a right-handed hitter is more likely to pull a ball towards third base, and Collins wanted to make sure that d'Arnaud had to field as few balls as possible at the hot corner. And the switch was made back every time a Yankee lefty came up to bat. This swapping of positions happened 22 times in the game, and if you check the box score from that Mets loss two nights ago, you see a line of alternating 2B and 3B for second base and third base markings next to d'Arnaud's name that looks like someone fell asleep on the computer keyboard. Just another indication that when you finally think you've seen it all in baseball, you haven't. Now, the Toronto Blue Jays are technically still in last place in the American League East, but so are the Tampa Bay Rays and Baltimore Orioles. All three teams now tied for last in the division, 10.5 games behind the first-place Red Sox. The difference for Toronto is that they've been winning ball games to achieve that three-way tie, while the O's and Rays have mostly been losing them, especially Tampa, tied with another loss to Toronto last night, 5-3 at the Rogers Centre, as the Jays take 3 out of 4 from Tampa Bay in that series. Justin Smoak had the game-winning hit, a two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth that broke a 3-3 tie, and teammate Josh Donaldson added to his recent power surge, hitting two solo home runs off Tampa starter Chris Archer in the win. Donaldson has now gone yard in 11 of his last 19 games. I said a few days ago that it's probably too late in the season for the Blue Jays to make a run at the playoffs. While the division title is likely out of reach, if you're a glass-half-full Jays fan, you will note that Toronto is just 3 games out of a wild-card spot. But as a card-carrying member of the glass-half-empty club, I must point out that there are 7 teams ahead of them for that same wild-card entry. So to get into the postseason, the Jays will need to sustain their recent home run barrage for the rest of August and well into September. Stranger things, as the saying goes, have happened. In New York Penn League action, the Vermont Lake Monsters trailed 2-1 heading into the bottom of the ninth inning, but they got a walk-off win at Centennial Field last night thanks to a clutch 2-out, 2-run double by Mickey McDonald that delivered a 3-2 win for the Monsters over the Lowell Spinners. McDonald was an unlikely hero. He was mired in a 2-for-25 slump, but he had a great at-bat, fouling off 3-0-2 pitches before lining a double to right center that scored Will Toffey and James Terrell for Vermont's 6th walk-off win of the year. Vermont has now won three straight games, and they maintain their first-place lead in the Steadler Division, a game and a half ahead of the Tri-City Valley Cats. Lake Monsters pitching staff yielded just two unearned runs on six hits and a walk, combining for 14 strikeouts in the game. Vermont starter Jesus Lizardo gave up just one hit and struck out five over four scoreless innings in his second start for the Lake Monsters.